Rave Radio. Well, here we are, final day at the Rye. And with me today to wrap up the show is Gary Kay. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joel. This has been a great show, and I'm excited to do a show wrap-up for everybody on ISE 2014.
Yeah, but my feet hurt.
Yeah, more than my feet hurt. There's a lot of other stuff that hurts.
What was the highlight? What was the highlight of the show?
I think, in general, like an overall sort of highlight of the show was just the sheer number of people that were here is exciting, and it bodes well for the future of the AV industry. They set a record here. Actually, we're just getting an email in with the show total, so I'll be able to give you the totals while I'm on the phone with you. But actually, here it is. It's 51,003 people. So thank God for the last three people that came in. Huh?
That means Mike Blackson's tradition was 997 short, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think that's pretty close, actually, when you consider the numbers that we're talking about.
Yeah, last year, 2013, the number was 44,151. This year, it's 51,003. That is amazing. That is about a 20% increase.
What did you think was the best product you saw?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a lot of products we wrote about on our website. That we have a dedicated microsite to the show, which is ravepubs.com/ISE2014. And there were, quite honestly, a lot of products that I saw that I was really impressed with. So I'd have a hard time picking one product. I'd rather kind of go through a group of products. Is that all right?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have one product that you thought was awesome?
Actually, my favorite was applications. And for those of you who saw my video podcasts throughout the show, I think the best thing I saw altogether was the Lang stand. Lang is a huge German distributor, distributes throughout Europe. But what I loved was that the stand was really clean and they were showing really good applications. In other words, they were showing it the way a staging company would show it, not the way a manufacturer would show it. Hardware was backstage. They had an enormous panoramic LED that was just stunning. And the 4K pinball machine was without a doubt my very favorite thing of the entire show.
Well, I agree. I'm going to go along that applications theme. I told you about this the first day of the show. But this company, Lighthouse, actually had an LED-wrapped Mini Cooper car, completely LED-wrapped, and it was mind-boggling to see what this thing looked like. I'm going to show you a picture of it, Joel, in case you haven't seen it yet. You guys can't see it online, here, I'll let you watch this video here while we're talking. But they literally wrapped the entire car in LED, and it was just amazing to see what this thing looks like. Wrapped in LED. I mean, can you imagine driving? There you go. Can you imagine driving down the road and seeing a car?
That is pretty amazing.
So it's application based. I don't know how much that car costs. It generates its own power from the battery in the car, and so you don't need an external power supply. But again, I don't know how expensive it is. But it's got two applications. Number one, it's a giant digital sign, right? Because as you're driving down the road, you can put anything on it you want.
And like, and, get off my. Sorry. Get off the back of me.
Yeah, and another thing, it's a great thing that would be useful to drive your neighbors nuts.
Yeah, I would bet. And would fascinate the kids in the neighborhood, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of applications. In fact, I have to give hats off, kudos, whatever you want to call it, to NEC. NEC had the best application booth. Barco had a great application booth, too. But NEC had the best application booth. They actually set up like a miniature shopping mall inside their stand. And they had different sections of sort of stores, I guess you would say, in their stand. What was interesting about it, Joel, and this is the first time I've ever seen this before, they had no model numbers and no technical specifications on anything in their stand. There was not, you walked around and saw, in fact, they even showed a brand new 85-inch 4K monitor that's not going to ship towards the end of the year. But you couldn't even tell the model number of it because it wasn't available. They didn't have it on any signage. There was no pricing on anything. There was no model numbers on anything. But what they did do is they showed everything in an application. So they showed retail digital signage in an application. They showed command and control center applications. They showed a theater application. They showed a multi-imaging application. They showed a huddle room application. Everything was application-based. So what they were trying to push is, look, we make displays too, but we're really... Oh, and they also showed a really good demo. They had a really good setup for VukuNet, which is their digital signage ad software product. So, I think that was sort of... That's another theme of the show, was how everything was application-based.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my... When I look at trade show booths, stands. My big thing is I love application-based displays. I really hate the hardware store aspect. Like, here are the shelves with all our boxes on them, because you don't really learn anything from that.
Right.
And you know, some of the stands here gave me some really good ideas. I mean, you walk around and, you know, I know a good idea when I steal one, and there were several of them here. What did you think was, you know, overall, what did you hear from people about the show?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, every manufacturer was extremely excited with the attendance, the numbers, and they all agreed that quality was still there, even though the quantity increased. So I think that that's it's great. I think that everybody was really happy with the show. One thing that I noticed that was interesting was there were an inordinate number of American attendees at this show, and I think that is something to make note of. The fact that Americans came over to Europe, and Canadians too, by the way, came over to Europe and went to a show, that's a switch. I mean, we've had for years international people coming to Infocom, but this is the first year, and I've been going to ISC. I've been to 9 out of the last 10 ISCs, or say 10 out of 11 now that we're done, and I don't know of a single year where we've had any sizable number of American attendees, and there were a lot here. So that means that kind of indicates, and I think a lot of people kind of expected this, because here we have a mega show that is a pro AV show and a home AV show together, and obviously digital signage, unified communications, all the technologies here, Joel. This is really the only show. This is the only show where everything is all in one place. Infocom's still the leading commercial show, but this is the only place you can see home and commercial together.
I totally agree. This is my favorite show of all. I think that one of the things, I had a long podcast recording this afternoon with Bob Snyder of Rave Europe about the differences in doing business in Europe. And all I can see from this is it really is becoming a global market at last. Not only that, but I think that Infocom and Cedia are becoming global organizations because of it.
Yeah, and in fact, Infocom this week announced that they're amping up their education here in Europe and the Middle East. They're not only going to translate all their current educational programs into language-specific programs for language-appropriate programs for all over Europe, but they're also going to look at the curriculum and revamp the curriculum per country. So, for example, the nomenclature, the kind of technical aspects of things that do change country to country, they're going to address them. The other thing they're going to do is they're going to do more sort of outreach and roadshow kind of training around Europe, which they've done for a while in the United States. It's been very successful. But I think Infocom has taken the right stance, or kind of going in the right direction. I actually had an interview today with Wolfgang Linz. I don't know if you know Wolfgang, but he's the founder of Comtech. Comtech's
sure, yeah.
The biggest distributor
actually,
in Europe.
You introduced me to him probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, maybe so. And he had a good comment. He said, you know, I had a meeting with Infocom, and I was brutally honest with them. I told them that I was disappointed in the way that they were supporting the industry. They're doing a great job supporting it with the trade show, but they stop at the trade show door. They're not going beyond that. And he's concerned that the market won't develop into a systems market as well, and will maybe become more of a box market if the integrators aren't well educated on the value of systems, because they don't have access to the same educational courses that we're delivering in the U.S.
Now, to look at the other side of that, one of the things that impressed me was Infocom's hiring local educators in all of their markets. I had a long talk with Jonathan Sellers today over what he's doing in Australia and Asia. They really are focusing on Scott Wills, who's in charge of education for the global side of Infocom. Is an old friend and real serious about what he's doing. And they really are lining up. One of the things they want is for this not to be American education focused. They want education to come locally with their support. And I think that that's going to take off for them. I really do. There was great response to the courses they had here.
Yeah, I agree. They had, I think, I'm not sure I can give exact statistics because I was told some stuff sort of off the record, but most of the courses were filled.
Yeah.
And that's at Infocom that we've had situations where some courses have been filled, but most courses were filled here. Cedia did a great job as well. Now, Cedia did not have a good show this past fall. Cedia was a disappointing show, but the Cedia version of the show here at ISC was phenomenal. The home AV integration, or the home AV manufacturers, are still embracing this show, and they see the growth in international beyond what the growth is in the U.S. They see their opportunity in international.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. And a lot of people were here looking for new business partners. This is fascinating as this goes on because they're breaking this booth down around us.
Yeah, literally tearing it down around us.
Yeah, as we talk. But, you know, I think overall that Cedia teaming with Infocom for this was a great idea.
Yeah, I think it was a great idea. It was genius. I think it was Randy Lemke's idea. It was one of the sort of brainchilds of it. I could be wrong. We could ask Terry, but I think
Randy listens to our podcast. He'll tell you.
That's good. It'd be nice if it is true. But I believe he did. I think it was his brainchild. NSCA used to be part of it, but NSCA sort of, when they got rid of their show, I think they got rid of that part of the partnership. So it's now it's just totally CD and Infocom. And Mike Blackman, his hats off to those guys. They deserve, hopefully they're going to take a vacation, well-deserved vacation, because they put together a phenomenal show. And again, you can see all the coverage at ravepubs.com/ISE2014. We shot over 1,200 videos. We took somewhere around 800 to 1,000 photos. We're not exactly sure the final number of the show for us, so you'll be able to see them. We did something really cool this year, too, Joel, regarding photos. We actually went Tuesday night after the show opened, and the show was open one day, and we literally walked the show floor, and we did an ISE After Dark. So we'll post those sometime in the next few days. And basically, you'll see what a trade show floor looks like after dark. Literally no one on the show floor except two of us. And we went around and shot photos of all the major areas of the show. You see what it's like to be a mouse in a convention center when all of a sudden your space has been invaded by thousands of exhibitors.
Yeah, I had a great show, too. I did about a dozen in-depth interviews that you can find on the microsite. I did half a dozen podcasts, all with people whose opinions I think you should hear. And some of it with people who are here with new technologies that I think are going to be important to the industry. So, you know, in general, it was a worthwhile show for me. I think it was a worthwhile show for the industry.
Yeah, we brought 17 people here from the U.S. It was worth the investment. That's obviously cost us a lot of money. I saw everything from, big highlights, obviously, 4K. Second big highlight, collaboration. I hate that term, really, but really sort of a BYOD. I hate that term, too, actually. But sending content wirelessly across a network and not having to hardwire it, sort of like there's a whole bunch of Barco ClickShare imitators out there, and that was another theme. Another theme was expensive gear is back. I saw a $200,000 pair of speakers. That was kind of fun to see what a $200,000 pair of speakers looks like and sounds like. And I saw the most amazing exhibits of flexible LED. I saw a holographic digital signage projection. I was really impressed with that. And in fact, that's probably worth mentioning. I think one of the trends you're going to see over the next year or two is projection moving into digital signage, because you can save a lot of money. Instead of vertically hanging a 60, 70, 80-inch panel on the wall, which are still fairly expensive unless you use consumer grade, which you probably don't want to do in a digital signage application, you can there are a lot of projectors where you can put them in portrait mode, literally hang them by their side, and project, and they're less expensive than using a flat panel display. And in the case of companies like who are exhibiting here, like Epson, for example, and Christie, you can color correct them for the kind of wall you're projecting on, and you can basically turn any surface into a projection surface. And I think that is going to be interesting in digital signage.
Yeah, I so far it's been, I'm still going through the ideas that I got here and the things that I saw. I'll be making a wrap-up blog on it relatively shortly, and we'll be posting more and more of the things that we shot late today so that all of you on the other side of the pond and all of you on this side of the pond can see all the things that happened at ISE.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate you coming out here to Europe to help us out, Joe. You were invaluable. We had a couple of special video shoots that we would not have been able to do without your assistance. Even though we didn't originally warn you about them, you stepped right in and saved our butts. And also for running Rave Radio while you're here, we're going to end up with about 15 podcasts, and I appreciate your support.
Anytime, Gary. This was a good time. And all, to all of you out there, thanks a lot for listening. And check out the microsite, www.ravepubs.com/ISE2014, is
it? Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right.
And that microsite, by the way, Joel, has news articles on it, blogs, right? And it also has all the press releases. Every single product introduced at the show is on there, the Rave Radio podcast, but also all the videos. And that's what you should take a look at. We've shot, like I said, about 1,200 videos, which means that we shot a video on every new product, and it's worth looking at because if you're interested to see what was introduced here, because a lot of the stuff that was introduced here will be shipping by the time Infocom rolls around, the only place to see it is at ravepubs.com.
Looking forward to it, and we'll see you all when we return to the States. Thanks, everybody, for listening.